B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's welcome in on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's been far too long, and I take some blame for that. Jared Karabas is with us from Barstool Sports. Hi, Jared.
You know what? I'm glad that you're taking some of the blame, Beetle, because, you know, I'll tune in every now and then, and I hear Beetle just being like, you know, Karabas, he goes to New York and he forgets about us.
Well, you do.
You know my number, Beetle. I would be happy to come on every single day if you would have me. But the last time I was asked to come on this show was after the parade, and I was very intoxicated. So I don't even remember the last time that I was on the show.
That probably was the last.
That was one of your best interviews.
15 plus months ago. How things have changed since that point.
What's changed since then, Jared?
Oh, nothing.
well, a lot, I guess. I guess you could say. The team's a little bit different. I have hair now.
All true. Yes.
Yeah.
Jared, what is your reaction to just the part of Mookie Betts being traded by the Red Sox?
I mean, you knew it was coming. It wasn't a surprise. I guess, like, you know, after it comes down, there is some shock still. I mean, no part of me thought that the trade with the Dodgers was going to fall through. Like, I compared it to a pregnancy. It's just, you know when the due date is. It could just be any day around that time. And we knew with spring training coming up that it was going to be anytime soon. It happened to be last night. And I think that there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think that there's a lot of misguided anger. First and foremost, I hope that fans understand that this is not on Chaim Bloom. You know, this guy comes in and he's basically faced with an impossible task of, can you make the team worse, but also be competitive at the same time? Like, can you do that? And what an impossible thing to ask someone, who's in the first year of not only a new role, but in a completely different organization.
I mean, so he's handcuffed, like, then, you're saying.
Okay, I can accept part of this. I can accept that Chaim Bloom had a mandate to trade Mookie Betts. That I will believe.
It's not even that he had a mandate to trade Mookie Betts. I think he definitely had a mandate to get under the luxury tax, but I don't necessarily think that they go hand in hand. Like, you didn't have to trade Mookie Betts to get under the luxury tax, but was it the easiest way? Yes, because, you know, when you talk about trading David Price, you know, David Price opted in to his contract a year ago. Well, the Red Sox are opting out of it a year later, and they had to eat a little bit of money. And yeah,
a little bit of money. $48 million is a little bit of money.
I mean, when you're talking about $217 total dollars allocated to the contract, you got the most out of David Price that you were going to get out of him. So, like, you got the good years, the back end of the contract, that goes to L.A. And if the Red Sox were negotiating with Mookie Betts basically since 2017, this is an organization that knows more than the Dodgers what is it going to take to sign this guy. And if that number was unreasonable, then, yeah, you have to get something for him. I mean, think about it. Think about, like, what your expectations were for this Red Sox team if the deal fell through. Like, are you talking championship? No, nobody was. So you get what you can for Mookie Betts, which is Alex Verdugo, 23-year-old outfielder who was a three-win player in limited time last year. And then you get a reliever who nobody can pronounce his name, but he has a sinker that's 101 miles an hour. He's only 20 years old. So, you know, you got something. You got some things for Mookie Betts, whereas you were more than likely looking at a situation where Mookie Betts plays 1 year for a Red Sox team that wasn't going anywhere, and then he would sign somewhere else. And I'm not 100% convinced that Mookie's going to sign somewhere else after next. I'm not completely convinced that he's not going to re-sign with the Reds. Like, that could happen. It's a small chance. Very small chance.
You're dreaming. Come on. You're dreaming, dude.
All right, Jared, hold on one second. You say the Red Sox were not going to be able to compete this year. Isn't it still better to hang on to one of the best players in baseball and I don't even have to argue with you. Your most reliable starting pitcher in David Price, keep those guys for a year and see if maybe you can, in fact, compete for a year with those two guys, because the return, you can talk it up as much as you want, but it's not blowing up anyone's skirt. And at the end of the year, if you end up getting nothing for him or just a pick, oh, well, you kind of didn't get anything for him now, and you're still paying David Price. Why not just keep him and play one more year with Price and Betts on your team?
I'm not completely convinced that this, you know, you're it's, there's too many question marks with Chris Sale's injuries. David Price now has an injury history. Nathan Eovaldi, I mean, there's too many question marks there. The offense was great, but I mean, like, the return is nothing to scoff at. Like, Minnesota Twins fans were pissed about this guy that the Red Sox got, the righty reliever there. They're pissed about it. I mean, like, this is a guy that, again, throws 101 miles an hour with movement. So you don't come across that very often. So it's not like they got nothing for him. And with David Price, it's 3 years that you're getting off the books. Like, you, yes, you're paying a chunk of it, but you're not paying all of it. And I just don't trust the willingness to play ball with Mookie Betts. But let me explain why, with the whole Mookie thing, why it was best to trade him now, because he was only able to negotiate with one team, that one team being the Red Sox. And if the reports were true about him wanting 12 years, $420 million, well, that's just not going to happen, because that would take him through his age 39 season, which is just wildly irresponsible.
So you thought that's the way, why would
you thought there was no middle ground?
No, I think, I mean, like, that's why I think that there will be a middle ground come free agency. When you're able to go out into the market and 29 other teams can negotiate with you, and no other team wants to give you, you know, an average annual value of $35 million over 12 years, then you have to come down. But if you're only negotiating with one team, you can aim high. You can say whatever number you want, because it doesn't matter if you don't agree to anything, because you're still under contract for 2020.
See, and there's this faction, this narrative out there that he didn't enjoy his time here. Did you ever, or didn't want to be a member of the Red Sox moving forward, that he didn't like Boston? Did you ever get that feeling? And you talk to guys, you're around this team.
I never got that sense. I never got that feeling.
Have you heard it?
No. I mean, like, the only thing I've ever really heard about him is that he's not, like, an overconfident guy. Like, he kind of, like, lacks confidence. And I don't know if maybe being in Boston magnifies that. Like the media market or whatever, but I've never heard, like, Mookie doesn't want to be here. I've never heard Mookie, the second that, you know, his deal is up, he's done, he's out of here. I've never really heard that. I think the only time I've ever really heard or why Mookie would be out of here the second that he became a free agent was because he wanted a ton of money. Like, he wanted the highest bidder, and I feel like he's earned that right. You know, I feel like we've seen the comparisons to Dustin Pedroia, Xander Bogaerts. They took a little bit less to stay in Boston, but at the time of signing those deals, neither one of those players had the case for second best player on planet Earth. You know, like, if you're a generational talent, and Mookie Betts is, make your money. Like, go out and make your money, set the market for the guys that come after you. But I've never heard anything about Mookie not wanting to be in Boston because of Boston.
So if the Red Sox do have a desire to go after Mookie Betts, why would they have traded him? That's why I just can't.
I told you, because they're not going to give him 12 years, 420. But
if you're saying that they're not going to have to, then why wouldn't they just wait it out and say, you know what, we'll go to free agency and we'll have the best offer at the end, and we're confident in doing that. Yeah. They have that ability.
Let him play.
As one of the richest teams in baseball.
You can do both. You can get something for him, and then you can pay him.
John Lester. Okay. Like John Lester.
Yeah, I feel better about this trade already.
John Lester, but in the John Lester, because everyone is going to use that as an example of, yeah, you know, you try to sign a player and they don't want to sign, so you trade them, and then they tell you to screw in free agency. Well, the offer that the Red Sox made to John Lester was insulting, and we all knew that it was insulting at the time. We don't know what the most recent offer to Mookie Betts was from the Red Sox. I mean, the last reported one was 10 years, 300. And that's not going to get it done. That's an average annual value of $30 million. Like, we're off
right
there.
Right.
But there have been escalators to where it's 100, 200, 300, like Beatles been saying for weeks now. Why is 400 now out of the question as this thing progresses?
Well, I think it's out of the question. I think people scoff at the total dollars. Like, they see $420 million after the Red Sox offered $300, and they're like, whoa, what a gap. But it's not. It's you know, $420 million over 12 years is $35 million a year. You look at that number, and you're like, well, that makes a ton of sense.
So like, what if you gave him like 10 and 350?
Right.
Then, yeah, of course.
Then like, that's a more respectable offer. So the Red Sox,
absolutely.
So the Red Sox on a 10-year deal, we're only off by, let's say, $50 million.
Yes, correct.
That's sort of a big number.
But like when you're talking about it on an annual basis, it's, you know, it's doable. Like, it's not. You look at.
I agree.
Then that means they didn't want to sign.
I totally agree, which tells me that their offer wasn't for real.
Right.
That they didn't actually want to engage with him. That they knew a year ago they didn't want him to be here. They didn't want to pay him because they don't have interest in paying players that kind of money. It's why they were so happy to get Xander Bogaerts at the money they got him at, which was a steal for the Red Sox.
Right. But if you look at it, it's all based on the perspective. So it's like, all right, we're talking $35 million a year, and I say 10 years for $350 million. We're all in agreement here that that's very much doable.
Yes.
But then we talk about the difference of what Mookie wants. Now we're talking $70 million. Like, $70 million, that's a lot of
right,
money
but,
to,
but
it, to
but
all
in the,
of us.
But in the negotiation.
The difference of guaranteeing 2 years. It's 2 years.
But in a negotiation, people will throw out bigger numbers than what they actually expect to get because they're trying to get the other side to meet them in the middle.
Yeah, neither side
and
was.
So you could
argue that neither side was really interested, and especially the Red Sox, if they offered first 10 and 300, and they said 12 at 420, Mookie did, and then it's on the Red Sox to come back with something else, but instead they just trade them, then they weren't really interested in the first place.
Right. I mean, that's why the 10 years, $300 million, and casual fans are looking at that, and I hate this excuse, but the casual fans being like, well, $300 million, how much more money do you need? Like, you know, you're so rich now, like what can't you buy with $300 million? It's not about that. It's about what the market value is, and his market value for sure is $35 million a year, around there. I wouldn't be surprised if the AAV was higher than that. But it's about the years, because the years are what makes the total dollars. And when you come in at 300, you look at what Manny Machado got, you look at what Bryce Harper got, and it's either equal to or greater than what you just offered Mookie Betts. And there isn't a person on this world that knows what they're talking about.
That would pick either of those guys.
Correct.
Yep.
They're both beneath Mookie Betts. So it was obvious that that offer, which was a year ago, is fair. And that's why people that aren't into the economics of sports or just economics in general, they cannot comprehend that there is a person who is so good at what they do that $300 million is not fair compensation for what they're doing.
All right, Jared. Good talking to you as always. We got to do this again soon.
How's the Super Bowl?
It was a great time. Love Miami. Shout out Miami.
I heard you saw Louth, ran into Louth.
Yeah, what the hell, Jim Louth? Little birdie told me that Jim Louth thought that I didn't even know who he was. We were talking about this like Zoe and Beetle the entire time. Well, who did you think that I thought you were?
Well, the first question you asked me was, still doing baseball all the time? You still doing the baseball thing all the time? And
right?
I realized, oh, he doesn't know who I am. And then I said, no, I'm doing Zoe and Beetle. And you said, oh, and then you realized, and then it clicked in your mind.
I don't think that's what happened at all. Who did I think that you were? I hugged you, Jim Louth.
Wow.
Yeah, they were just being nice.
Jim said didn't recognize him.
Beetle, you know me. I'm not hugging random people that I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Thing that I would do. Yeah.
Jim said you didn't recognize him due to Jim's life-transforming weight loss.
Right.
He looked like a different person.
Well, I mean,
he's so hot now.
He does look fantastic.
He does. He does.
All right, Jared. Jared, talk to you soon.
See you, Rocket.
All right, thank you, guys.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.